All right, turn with me to Romans chapter 10, if you will. Good morning, church. Sorry, I forgot about that. Romans chapter 10. We're going to be looking at verses 9 through 15 this morning. All right, let's pray. Holy and wonderful God, you have given us a story to tell. Grant us the courage to be witnesses in the world. While we have been delving into the concept of how we are to love effort, may we continue to understand that we do that with a holy boldness and inspiration from the Spirit itself, knowing that we are to sent into the world to share this love with all people. God, may it be so in our lives so that we may proclaim that into the lives of others. For we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. I've always liked riding bikes. Ever since I was a little kid, I remember, having my training wheels on and riding a variety of different kinds of bikes. When I was younger, living in Massachusetts, my brothers and I would go riding in the woods kind of behind our house, but I had an absolutely horrible bike. The wheels were rubber, solid rubber, that is, no air in those wheels, so there's no kind of give on the rocky terrain. A banana seat, of course. I mean, who didn't like a banana seat? I mean, banana seats are great. And then I put baseball cards, of course, in the spokes, because any self-respecting guy would do that. And if you were not a self-respecting guy, then I'm sorry, but you're just a loser. Having that kind of bike was just absolutely awesome. And I remember one time in particular, a day that I wouldn't forget, as my older brother and my younger brother and I were riding down this kind of trail, and he was out in front, and my younger brother was kind of behind me, and my older brother was just way too fast. And so he would be riding down, and he was so fast for us, and pretty soon he got to the space where I could not see him, and I could not hear him. And this is where things went terribly wrong. You know, no one could see him. No, we couldn't hear him. We could not hear him yelling for us to stop, because down this dirt trail, there was a footbridge that had been knocked out. And so my older brother, he was able to see it and kind of got off to the side. And I was turning around to see my younger brother to make sure that he was close by. And when I turned around, I went down this ravine, flipped over my handlebars, and landed on the ground. And so I had cuts and bruises and scrapes and blood and a mangled bike, except for those wheels, because the wheels are solid rubber, so they were fine. But everything else was absolutely mangled. And as I look back, I think about how come I couldn't hear my brother, and I couldn't hear him yelling for me, and I couldn't hear him calling out for me to stop in this kind of direction that I was going. And I can say that not only about this moment in my life, but I can say it in about a number of moments in my life. And actually, I probably can even share that in my spiritual life as well, when there were people in my life who have told me to stop going the direction I was going, or scripture that called out for me to stop, and that I didn't hear the wisdom of the gospel, or that I didn't hear the wisdom of brothers and sisters in Christ telling me to stop. And I think sometimes I live with earmuffs on. Or maybe I just plug them up all together. You know, it's not muffled sound, it's just I don't hear anything except for what I want the world to tell me, and those things of the world that I really like to hear or that I want to hear. And when this happens, I think we can miss the miraculous and wonderful and the majestic power of God and what God has to tell us and how God is sharing with us and interacting with us. You know, there are times in my life where I've allowed the world to be kind of my focus, retreating into the life that I want to live rather than living the life that God wants me to live. There have been times, if I'm really honest with myself, that I really didn't want to see God's glory. I didn't really want to be a part of God's plan. There have been times where I do things that pull me away from God, and I cannot hear those sweet notes that He wants me to hear with that connecting power and the love and the grace that He has. And my guess is, as I'm saying this, you all are probably thinking of times in your life where you have done those same things, those things that have kind of pulled you away from God, or those things that you've done that have kind of caused you to fight and battle against who God is and who God wants you to be. But in those moments of doubt and those moments of pulling away from God, perhaps you too feel that you have earmuffs on, or maybe they're plugged all the way, unable to hear the wisdom of the gospel, unable to hear the wisdom of those people who are calling out for you to stop or calling you to something greater. Even more, I believe there are people in this world who have never experienced the power of Jesus, who have not heard about that power, forgiveness and healing and redemption, that authority of God. And actually, I believe that the more and more I think about it, I believe we live in this kind of post-Christian world. This post-Christian world where I think everybody knows about Jesus. Everybody has heard about Jesus at this time. But people just don't care. There's a lot of people who don't care about it. Friends, I believe there are many people in our surrounding community that are deaf spiritually to the fact that we have a holy and a just God who is perfect in every way. There are people who are deaf to the fact that Jesus, because he loved us so much, took that sin, our sin upon himself, our brokenness upon himself, and sacrificed himself for us, died on the cross, was resurrected in full glory, and now sits with us, God. Many people are deaf to the fact that in order for us to be made whole in God's eyes, that we all need to respond to this love that Jesus has for us, accepting what he did for each and every one of us, bridging the gap between our brokenness and his perfection. Many people cannot hear what I just said. Many people are spiritually deaf to what I shared. Perhaps some people in this room can't truly embrace what I just called us to. The fact is, I was deaf one time to the gospel. I think all of us at one point were deaf to hear what God is telling us. The beginning of the scripture today says this. Listen to this. Romans chapter 10. If you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him, Jesus, from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Greek and Jew. The same Lord is Lord over all and is generous to all who call upon him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be what? Saved. Now here's what I hear from these few verses. If you believe, if you confess that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus died on the cross for you, for me, if Jesus took upon himself all of my sins, your sins, the sins of the world, both the past and the present and the future, if we believe that, then we will receive the grace of God. If we confess that we believe in Jesus, and many of us will take communion here in a few weeks, if we believe all of this stuff, that Jesus' blood was shed for us, that his body was broken for us, if we believe that Jesus died and rose 3 days later and sits with God and will return again, if we believe that, then we are saved. We have a connection with God that will never be broken. If we believe those things. Here's the tough part. If we do not believe that, if we do not believe that Jesus is Lord, if we do not believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, if we do not believe that Jesus died a sinner's death so that we may be made white as snow, then friends, we are not saved. Now, I have a lot of friends who will say, I'm a pretty big deal, no. I have a lot of friends who will say that that is not a nice thing to say. I have a lot of friends that will say, well, Brian, that's not the PC thing to talk about. The scripture is abundantly clear, and I cannot see any other way to share this. If you believe and confess Jesus is Lord, then you are saved. And I think many of us can get there mentally, right? We can say that in our churches, we can say that in conferences, we can say that in our life groups. However, many of us actually work at bringing others to that same transformational power of Jesus. Do we do that? Do we invite others into this process with us? Do we invite others into a relationship with Jesus? We say it, right? We say this is what is important, but do we actually follow through? You know, assumptions are extremely dangerous. There have been many times that I've assumed something, right? And many times my assumptions have proved to be wrong. There's a story of a photographer of a national magazine, and he was assigned to take photos of this really huge forest fire. And the smoke of the steam hampered him, and he asked his home office if he could hire a plane, if a plane could be hired for him. And the office said, yeah, I think you could do that. And you're going to go to the nearby airport, and there's going to be a plane that'll be waiting for you on the tarmac. And when he arrived at the airport, there was a plane warming up on the runway, and the photographer jumped in the plane, and he said, let's go, let's go. And so they took off, and the plane swung around into the wind, and they started getting in the air, and the guy said, fly over the north side of the fire and make 3 or 4 low-level passes. Well, why? Said the pilot. Well, because I need to take some pictures, because I'm the photographer that's supposed to be taking pictures of this fire. And the pilot said, well, wait a second, you're not the instructor? Yeah, we assume way too much, don't we? We assume, here are the things that we assume. We assume, when we're out in our world, we assume that, one, either people know Jesus already, or that somebody else will tell people about Jesus, or that they just don't want to know about Jesus. We assume these things when we interact with other people. The fact is, many people realize that there's something missing in their lives, that beyond something that they can control, that they can put their finger on, and they put this thing in money or in time or in power and fame. And while they don't know what they need, much less how to get it, friends, we know that what they need is Christ. And I'm convinced that we all know people that have either rejected the gospel or someone who's not really engaged in the gospel. You see, unless someone tells them about Jesus and his life-saving work on the cross, they will never be saved. Evangelism is one of our purposes as a congregation. It means that we share the good news with Jesus, with those who are around us, and all over the world. It means that we are to keep proclaiming the message of God, this transformative power in Jesus that we've been talking about over the last few months. Why is it so important to take this purpose and this command seriously? Putting it simply, apart from Christ, friends, there is no true hope. Apart from Jesus, there's really not a deep understanding of love. Apart from Jesus, there's not a sense of grace and peace in your life. So yeah, I think we assume a lot when it comes to evangelism. When it comes to sharing the gospel, we assume that just living a Christian lifestyle will bring people to Jesus. We assume that telling people about our church, or even just inviting them to our church, is about evangelism. We assume that going on work camps or mission trips is evangelism. We assume that some of our ministries that we have here is evangelism. No. Evangelism is about sharing the gospel of Jesus and his love with this world. In our time remaining, I want us to look at these last few verses of this text. Listen to this. But how can they call him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless somebody tells them? And how can anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is what the scriptures mean when they say, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Y'all have beautiful feet, right? Okay, no, that was like a no on that one. Now let's look at the obvious in this passage, right? In order for someone to call upon the Lord, they need to believe. In order for them to believe, they have to hear. In order for them to hear, someone has to tell them. In order for someone to tell them, they have to be sent. Now see, many followers of Christ have a tendency to believe that they don't have this gift of evangelism, and because of that, that they are not responsible for sharing the gospel of Jesus. And I want you to know today that it is God's purpose for every believer to help others know who Jesus is. Every person becomes a candidate, a messenger, you could say, to share the good news. And I don't mean that when you become a follower of Jesus, you need to sign up immediately and go overseas and carry your coffin with you. Right? I believe that being sent means that you will become as prepared as you possibly can to share the story of Jesus with another person. I believe that together we are to be the lights in this community and in this world that will share and proclaim the positive message of Jesus. Now, one of my favorite cartoons is Peanuts. Anybody know, you know Peanuts, right? And I might have shared this before, but I just absolutely love this image here. One of the cartoons, Lucy, demands that Linus change the television channel, and threatening him with her fist, because that's just the way Lucy is, right? He says, what makes you think you can walk right in here and take it over, says Linus. Well, these 5 fingers, Lucy says, individually, they're nothing, but when they are together, they form a weapon that is terrible to behold. To which Linus says, well, what channel do you want me to change it to? And turning away, he looks at his fingers and he says, how come you guys can't get organized like that? Friends, this church has a great responsibility, right? We need to get organized. We need to get together. We need to have this laser focus about sharing who Jesus is and what he has done in our lives. The scripture is clear. In order for people to call upon Jesus to be their Savior, someone needs to be sent. But let's look at verse 15. Paul uses this interesting Old Testament quote, right, in verse 15. It says, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." This verse was first used in Isaiah and used in Nahum. It's important to understand that in biblical times, and I'm not sure if you all know this, they actually didn't have faxes or phones or email. And so I know, it's shocking. It really is. I know that just totally disrupted your view of the Bible in historical times. But listen, they didn't have that. So in order for a king to send a message, right, or to relay a message to the hearers, he sent messengers. And oftentimes, guess what? They would have to travel by foot. And many of these messages would go hundreds of miles or tens of miles so that he could bring this message to the hearer. Now, the message of the messenger could be two things. It could be a positive message or it could be a negative message. Now, the message of the messenger was an important job to have. Now, believe it or not, you know, Job, when he received a message, it was a very negative message that his family was killed. That's a very bad message. So can you imagine the people of these communities would be thinking when word got out that a messenger was going to be bringing a word for them? I mean, their hearts would pound, right? I mean, is this going to be a horrific message or is this going to be a message of blessing? I mean, people would either love you or they would absolutely hate you. I would hate to be this person. Well, I guess I am this person every week. So, of course, if the news was good, their messenger would be seen as kind of this popular person around because they brought this great message, right? So the people would say that the messenger's feet were beautiful. Now, the word beautiful doesn't actually mean appearance, right? So when I ask you if you had beautiful feet, it's actually not about appearance. The word literally means in time or a timely message. It was as if the people were saying, just when I needed to hear something good, a message was brought to me. You know, there are people all around our world, all around this community, that are in need of some good news. They're going through a trying time. Their lives are falling apart. Their work, their families, their relationships are just going disintegrating. And they don't need to hear, well, just suck it up, just hang on in there, or you know, our church has great music. What they need to hear is that Jesus loves and cares for them. And you know what? You can say that because Jesus has loved and cared for you, and that Jesus transformed your life, and that he walks with you in the times of life when it seems the worst. Do you know that most people come to Christ during transition points in their life? When things are going really great, for an unbeliever, it's harder for them to be open to a need. But boy, when the rug's ripped out from underneath of you, people have this desire and yearning to connect with something more than themselves. So you can see Paul's imagery here. When someone's going through a tough time, they are in need of good news. When someone is parched by the world, someone's faith in anything has been dried up. And friends, you can be the one to share a message of hope with them. If we allow it, Jesus will use our flaws. He will use our flaws to share a message of hope in this world. And because of Jesus, we can invite people to God's table that we had up last week, right? Perhaps you have struggled in your life with addiction. Perhaps you have been abused or neglected. Perhaps you have struggled with depression. Perhaps you have lost a loved one. In spite of what we think the terms are that we think we cannot overcome, in spite of the things that have rocked our world and are cracked our pots, Jesus will use these experiences, these cracks, to make sure there's a connection between you and someone else who you can share this love and transformative knowledge with. So as we seek ways to minister together, to share the gospel, to evangelize, do not be afraid. Allow God to take advantage of your flaws and your gifts, and then you too can be a cause of beauty in his pathway. Friends, you need to bring this timely message to a world that needs to hear it. Not next week, not next month, but right now, to your friends, to your coworkers, to your families. They need to hear this power of Jesus. They need to understand the love and the grace and the hope and the joy and the peace of Christ now. We need to be eager and willing to share this message of hope of redemption. We need to have a sense of urgency to share this hope with other people. Yes, we're going to falter and we're going to fail and we're going to mess up and we're not going to say the right things at the right time. And we're going to use this phrase, I don't know, a lot. But when people are pointed to the gospel, when people are pointed to Jesus, when we allow ourselves to be used by God, wonderful things will happen and people will come to know a little bit more of who Jesus is. Friends, people are blinded by the truth of the gospel. It's veiled from them. But the good news is that Christ has overpowered the enemy and disarmed him through his work on the cross. Do not give up on yourselves or on other people. Ephesians 5:8 says this, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light." And friends, may we be containers for his light in spite of all our perceived weaknesses or flaws. Be willing to hold this treasure, which is Christ, and let his light shine through us. May we honor God in faithful sharing of the gospel of Jesus. May we help others lift the veil of this world and see the power of Christ. And may our life-giving, light-giving, grace-giving God above all else be praised. Brothers and sisters, people will not believe in Christ if they don't hear about Christ. People will not hear about Christ if you do not tell them about Christ. And people will not tell them about Christ unless you feel you have been sent. Consider yourselves sent this morning. Consider yourselves encouraged and empowered and equipped to share the gospel of Jesus this morning. Not just bringing people to church, not just going on mission trips, not just having great programs in our congregation, but actually telling people about the transformational power of Christ. That through him, we are saved. That through Christ, we are redeemed. And that through Christ, we are always accepted by a love-giving, gracious God. Let's pray. Holy and wonderful God, we thank you so much for your holy word. We thank you for the opportunity to walk together in this life as we celebrate who Jesus is in our life and who Jesus can be in the lives of others. God, we realize that many people know about Jesus. They've heard about him in conversations, but we also know that people just haven't fully surrendered to him. So God, bring us in line with people. Help us to walk alongside of people. May these people be in our circle of friends or family or coworkers. And God, may we have a holy boldness, a courage to share that love with others. For we pray this and we proclaim it and we name it in the name of the one who has given us life and the one who we desire to share the light with others, Jesus the Christ. Amen.